Jesus chides people who find fault with both his ministry and that of John the Baptist. He thanks God that wisdom and intelligence are not needed to receive what God has to offer. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus spoke to the crowd saying, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to one another. We have played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from our yoke mate, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Throughout my life, I've had many and a variety of coaches and mentors. I think back all the way to my middle school years. My middle school math teacher and football coach, Coach Ridgway, always was capable of getting us, well, one, he made math fun, and I love math, but on the field, he got us to do the things, worked us to the bone and got us to do things that we didn't think were possible. I think of Sergeant Petty, one of my shift supervisors for when I was in the Air Force. Again, another one of those mentors that there was just something about their leadership that just brought something out of us. We got the impossible, or what felt like the impossible, done. I think of my supervisors I had at my engineering job before coming to here, teaching me what it meant to be a leader, a servant leader, one who serves others. And I think of my ministerial colleagues that continue to shape and help me grow as I grow in becoming a pastor. All these people accompany me into becoming the person that I am today. And these people all come to mind when I think about and read these familiar verses at the end of our gospel text today. "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." These verses are verses that we hear often in the church. Most commonly, we hear them in times of deep grieving, whether that be through a death of a loved one or another loss. We hear it in the seasons where of deep repentance from sin and temptation. And we hear it in times where we're overwhelmed, particularly in the world and all that is going on around us. They are great words to be used in comfort for the weary and the burdened, encouraging rest and self-care. But is this the intention Jesus had for these words? And to look at that, we need to first recap of what's going on here in the book of Matthew. Because remember, we don't just cherry pick each one of these little verses and make nice little sayings out of them. Rather, it's this ongoing narrative. So if we go all the way back to the beginning of Matthew in these first four chapters, we hear of God's plan about bringing something new. Something new in the person of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Next, in chapters 5 through 10, we hear and we see Jesus living this out. First in word, through teaching, the Sermon on the Mount, and then what we've heard the last three Sundays is Jesus teaching on discipleship. And so we hear it through word, but then we see it in deed. We see it in Jesus' actions in chapters 8 and 9 as he goes out amongst the people and healing and being with them in their needs. Jesus isn't all talk. Rather, he walks the walk too. And now in chapter 11, where we find our text today, it begins what is seemingly a series of judgments on and against Jesus' identity, resulting in one of two reactions: commitment in faith and rejection because of offense. This all, of course, leads up to what comes at the end of the book of Matthew, that great commission, the sending of the disciples to go out and to make more disciples. Mission, a difficult yet necessary task we're called to, but it's work that we're not left to on our own. And Jesus gives us that assurance in his disciples in our passage today in these three familiar verses. So with this authority that Jesus has, he's been given by the Father, Jesus invites us to come weary and burdened. Weary here means to has this meaning of being engaged in hard work, implying difficulties and troubles, as well as the emotional piece that also can be cause weariness, to lose heart, if you will. And burden, which is associated with keeping the law. We hear in Matthew 23, Jesus saying, "Scribes tie up the heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others." And again in Luke, Jesus says, "Woe also to you lawyers," again the scribes, the enforcers of the law, "for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do little to lift a finger to ease them." Burdens, the burdens of keeping with the demands of the law. And Jesus takes this weariness and this burden, and he replaces it with rest. From Jeremiah 6, we read the Lord saying, "Stand at the crossroads and look, and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way lies, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." Rest not being the act of doing nothing. It's not this lazy boy kickback time where we get some extra shut-eye. Rather, rest here is meaning taking upon a yoke, just as the text alludes to. In one of our intertestamental writers, it says, "Draw near to me, you who are uneducated, and lodge in the house of instruction. Why do you say you are lacking in these things, and why do you endure such great thirst? I opened my mouth and said, 'Acquire wisdom for yourselves without money. Put your neck under wisdom's yoke, and let your souls receive instruction. It is to be found close by. See with your own eyes that I have labored but little and found for myself much serenity.'" In our rest, in the rest that we desire, we take upon Jesus' yoke and learn from him. A yoke. A yoke, this wooden device made to fit over the shoulders of animals, also with leather straps, is used to fasten these like animals together for work. A proper configuration of the yoke, meaning two equal animals or connected properly, placed right on the right place of the shoulders, brings about and leads to exponential results. But on the other hand, being yoked improperly to the wrong thing can be disastrous, putting a load upon one, more load upon one animal than the other. This yoke is a tool of accompaniment, and it's what Jesus promises to us to learn. And just more than this head knowledge, but to learn this hands-on, this shoulder-bearing apprenticeship. The yoke, it isn't imposed upon us, rather worn with us, like one would do as a mentor and a mentee. It's this co-mission that Deacon talked about a couple weeks ago in talking about the Great Commission, the co-mission we are in with Christ. Jesus is our yoke mate. Jesus promises this yoke to be easy. And that, again, does not mean that it won't be without demand. Easy has multiple meanings here. First, one of the meanings for easy in the Greek text is being superior for a purpose. In other words, Jesus' yoke is better. We think of this in regards to the yoke of the law, the burden of the law, and the yoke of our own self-desires, even as well-intentioned as they are. Jesus' yoke is better. Two, the yoke is being useful or benevolent. Jesus' yoke is more beneficial. Jesus' yoke is more beneficial. It's Christ's yoke that brings about the good news. Three, being kind. Meaning Jesus' yoke is kinder than other yokes. In the beginning of our text, we hear these stories of these wedding games the children are playing. That we have the wedding games of John the Baptist, which are likened to a funeral because of who he is and the message he brings. And Christ, whose message is that of a wedding with music and dancing, one that is inclusive of all. It's kinder than others. It welcomes all into the banquet. And finally, the fourth meaning of easy here, being pleasant or easy, implying a sense of suitability. Meaning, Jesus' yoke fits us well. Jesus' yoke fits us well. The yoke Christ has for you is designed for you. It fits like a glove. Sorry, bad pun. But it fits. So Jesus yokes with us. Not to take problems away, but rather to help us to cope with those problems. Jesus yokes with us not to eliminate the challenges in our lives, but rather to equip us to deal with them. And thirdly, Jesus yokes with us not to vanish our opponents, but rather to enable us to make peace with them. People's actions are deeds witness to our relationship with God. Knowing is more than head knowledge. It's an intimate relationship with Jesus, our coach and our mentor, our yoke mate. Jesus intends for our work to be restful, to be easy, to be light, to be purposeful, not burdensome. It's not a have to do to avoid punishment or gain reward, but rather it's a want to out of gratitude for what Jesus has first given us. There's no need here to worry about whether we're saved or not. God has already done that for you in Christ Jesus. The real question is now what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do about it? Ultimately, these acts, this bearing of the yoke, is pleasing to God. We go with our yoke, with Christ our yoke mate, even if there is little chance of what we determine to be success. Because if we're honest and look at Scripture here, Jesus, in the grand scheme of things, when we think about our human perspective, the wisdom, Jesus, John, and his disciples were all rejected and eventually killed. Now that in no means is success in our own definition, our own dictionaries. So we go and do what is pleasing to God, joining the work of Christ's yoke. Because sharing the good news is for those who have not yet heard it, those who need to be reminded of it, those who are longing and burdened and weary, those who need a yoke mate. Christ's yoke continually tells us about God's love and care for all. Is this the yoke that you've put on? Is this yoke of love and care for all the yoke that you wear? Or what are the yokes that we need to be rid of? What are the yokes that we need to take off and replace, make room for, in order that the yoke that Jesus has designed for you might be worn? Jesus is calling us to be yoked with Him in God's mission, saying, "Come, be my yoke mate, and learn how to pull the load by working beside me and watching how I do it. The heavy labor will seem lighter when you allow me to help you with it." Amen.